Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, 9, Kartabhaja. Worshippers of Guru as God. Quote, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. One should accept a thing as genuine by studying the words of saintly people, the spiritual master and the Shastra. The actual center is Shastra, the revealed scripture. The spiritual master does not speak according to revealed scripture. He is not to be accepted. Similarly, if a saintly person does not speak according to the Shastra, he is not a saintly person. Shastra is the center for all. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20, 352, purport. Okay. So in other words, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are the basis of authority, but Shastra is the center. Right? So if it's according to Shastra, then these other two are considered proper. In India, the Kartabhaja Apasampradaya is nowadays lumped in with the vowels of Bengal. All, ow, vowel, Shani Dharavesh. Though indeed it is in many ways similar to the vowels, there is yet a singular feature of this culture that distinguishes it from all others. Its doctrine of Guru Bhava. Hare Krishna. You're all coming from?
Excuse me?
You're coming from?
Where? My country?
Yeah.
Ecuador.
Ecuador, okay. You also?
Spain.
Spain, okay. And how did you come here?
To this place or to ISKCON?
Yeah, just to ISKCON or to this place. You just happen to be.
My aunt is living here.
Your aunt is living
here? Yeah, maybe she buys a place with 2000.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're coming to visit her.
Yeah, first time I've been here, I didn't know that I have this family.
So
I'm traveling in India, she contacted me and they say, I'm your family, come visit me.
Okay, okay. Right. Okay, so you're just traveling together. Okay.
Cool. Not traveling together, just we meet 2 weeks, but I'm traveling along.
Okay. Okay.
He also.
Okay.
Now we have united forces.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good.
So we would like to join the class if it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is quite far along in it. We're studying what are the various symptoms of the within the spiritual line that you can tell whether they're genuine, or they come in the proper genuine line, or whether they are. They've made up their own philosophy. Because right? The idea is that the philosophy must come down from the Supreme. If it's about the Supreme, it has to be from the Supreme. Because the Supreme being beyond the senses, there is no way using the material mind, intelligence, and senses that one can know what's beyond. Right? You have to judge something by something common. Right? Just like, let's say, if you want to know how hot it is, use the thermometer. Right? You can't use the thermometer to tell what color something is. Does that make sense? But you could use the color chart to tell you what the color is. Does that make sense? So, because you're working with material intelligence, material mind and all that, therefore, one will not be able to understand the spiritual element of God. The soul is spiritual, therefore there's that natural ability to desire to know. But as a soul, we're quite small. But God being unlimited, then one can't understand Him unless it's by His grace. Right? So there's a standard that philosophy is coming down from the Lord. and then it becomes very easy to understand. But if someone makes up their own idea, then it won't exactly, you know, work. So this is, we're studying these different groups where they're making their own thing up. Like that. In India, the Kartabhaja Apasampradaya is nowadays lumped in with the bowels of Bengal. Though indeed it is in many ways similar to the bowels, there is yet a singular feature of this cult that distinguishes from all others. Its doctrine of Guruvada, in other words, how they perceive or how they deal with the Guru, that's the main difference. To be sure, all the tantric apasampradayas venerate the Guru, and they all justify this veneration with the philosophy they call Guruvada. But none go to the extreme that the Kartabhajas do by proclaiming the Guru to be God incarnate. Right? So in other words, all that means, the upper sampradayas are counted as upper sampradayas because they're basically like the proper sampradaya, right? Following many of the major elements, but they have their own ways of doing it. So all of them have Guru, all of them respect Guru, but these Kartabhajas, they take it to extreme. Instead of Guru being representative of God, is the standard thing. They're trying to say Guru is God. Mm. Right? Because there's a difference. They say the ambassador represents the government. Mm. So it's as good as the government. If the ambassador comes to your country, it's as if the country comes there. But you can't say this single person is the country. Right? Right? So Kartabhajas, then what they're doing is saying, no, this person is the country. Mm. That's where the mistake comes in. Right? They can't tell the difference between as good as and is. Mm-hmm. Like that. Kartabhaja Guruvada is drawn from the Mayavad idea of absolute oneness. The conclusion is that the Guru alone is God in his worshipable form. No form other than this is worshipable, including the Archamurti. No name is chanted other than the name of the Guru. If the name Krishna is chanted, it's because the Guru is Krishna. So in other words, not only are they taking it to this extreme that the Guru is God, basically they're saying is God isn't God. Only the Guru is God, right? Because they're trying to say that everything's one, but they can't distinguish that within spiritual oneness, there's difference, right? It means everything's transcendental, but there's a difference in, you know, Guru, God, the associates of God, the place, the name, all these things are different aspects. So here he's saying, they're trying to say is that you just worship the Guru, you don't have to worship any other aspects. So even all the other bona fide aspects of the Sampradaya, you know, it means, or of the, you know, the regular, what the scriptures give, they don't accept. Right? So they've taken it to such extreme. In Lord Chaitanya's Achinta Bheda Bheda philosophy, the Guru is known to be non-different from God. But that does not mean he is identical to God in all respects. He is Ashraya Vigraha, the reciprocal of Krishna's mercy. He is Vishnupadaya, situated at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. And Krishna Prashtaya, very dear to Krishna. As Srila Raghunath Das Goswami states in his Manasiksha, Yuru Varam Mukunda Prashtave Smarata Parama Ajashram Nanu Mana. O mind, please remember again and again your spiritual master, who is most dear to Krishna. So the idea is the spiritual master is dear to Krishna because he's teaching you how to worship and serve Krishna. Right? But not that he is Krishna. Right? That's the element. The founder of the Kartabhaja Apasampradaya was one Owl Chand, who lived approximately from 1686 to 1779. He was a fakir, or Dadavesh, said by his followers to be none other than Lord Chaitanya himself. Mm. Right, so he was in that, so that's why it's similar to the Bao line, because he was a Dadavesh in that line, but they had a different philosophy that he was God, rather than simply just, you know, representing. None other than Lord Chaitanya himself, who they say appeared at Goshpada in Nadia 200 years after he appeared in Sridhar Mayapur. Footnote 18. Kartabhaja accounts say he was Sri Chaitanya as disguised as a Muslim fakir who had returned to combat false Vaishnav orders and the and the unpopular ascetic bias of mainline Vaishnavism. Thus their expression, the rice husked by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, remains unsold in the market. Okay, so I'm trying to say is that now he's the Dardavesh, and so they're supposed to be the very renounced element. But now he's saying that this is unpopular, probably because with himself it became unpopular. Right? You know, like we have, what do you call it? You see the same kind of a element happening with Rajneesh. He was very renounced, a very austere brahmachari. Very, you know, celibacy and everything. But it got to the point where he couldn't handle that anymore. So rather than just say that, you know, I can't do this and then step down and just go into family life like all the everybody else would do, he made it into philosophy that no, you can't do it in this way. You have to actually, it's through engaging the senses and everything like that. But that way then you'll come to perfection. So it appears that he's kind of done a similar thing. As a Dharavesh, then he was having difficulty or, you know, like that. So then instead of saying that I can't do this or drop down from a Dharavesh down to an owl, you know, that the first level, like that, therefore then he's saying, no, you know, we're you know, this is what makes Vaishnavism unpopular. The actual point that Bhaktivinoda points out is that Vaishnavism wasn't popular at this particular time because of persons like this. Right? They were not behaving properly, they didn't set a proper example, you know, they didn't dress nicely, they didn't do anything nicely. So people just considered them very uncultured. So that was the actual reason that people weren't interested. It was they were fine with, you know, the proper Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because that went on very nicely in all these times. You see Narottam, Vishwanath, it was going very well. In Goshpar, the residence of Karta Ram Sharan Pal and his wife Shanti is still preserved as the Karta Bhaja place of pilgrimage. Goshpar is not very far from here. Yeah. I think it's just up this way. I always thought Goshpara just meant where the Goshas live, but actually it seems Goshpara is actually a village. Because we've always had so many of the Goshas around here, yes, from Goshpara. Yes, yes, yes. You know? This husband and wife were Al Chan's principal disciples, said to be the Adi Purusha and Adya Shakti. Okay. Nowadays, the Goshpara Karta Bhaja Center is overrun with bowels during the three-day Dol Yatra festival. This is probably why many people think the Karta Bhajas are a kind of bowel. But they are a distinct group with a distinct philosophy, and they used to be extremely influential in the last century. In 1893, an invitation was extended to Karta Dulal Chand, a famous songwriter and guru of this sect, to attend the World Parliament of Religions in Chicago, at which Vivekananda lectured. So it had all kinds of leading lights. But the invitation was a little late. By that time, Dulal Chand had been dead for 60 years. Okay, I guess they didn't know. They must have just heard about him and wanted him to come. Okay, 1890, so that means in 1833, he had... The Kartabhaja sect has its own holy book called the Bhavir Gita, most of which was written in the form of songs by Dulal Chand. Much of the text is puzzling and purposely contradictory. It is to be understood only by initiates. Because that's one other trick that is very common, that in presenting philosophy, many times it's thought that if it's very hard to understand, it must be very good. Right? I mean, because... In other words, an intelligent man thinks, I'm intelligent, I can understand most everything. And so you can tell when someone speaks with confidence that, you know, that they know what they're talking about. When they don't speak with confidence, they can point out flaws. So here you have people speaking with confidence things that they absolutely can't understand. Right? So then they'll take it as, they'll take it as that it's spirit, you know, something special, something spiritual. So that becomes the difficulty, is that then if you do it in riddles and different things like that so people can understand, and then you say only the initiates will understand, then people want to become an initiate, this, that, to understand. But the Vedanta philosophy is just clear and direct. It's easily understandable, right? Because the idea is if you're trying to understand and apply it in your life, and you know, you're trying to transfer yourself from material consciousness to spiritual, you don't really have time to waste in trying to figure out the funny poetry and all that. You have enough difficulty understanding what it means trying to apply it. Because it's not trying to understand it, it's trying to apply it. That's important. So the understanding should be clear so that the application goes more here. But this is just, if it is unclear, then it makes it that people, you know, they think about that. So it's good for mental speculation, right? As I mentioned before, is that it has that Mayavad element. Right? Because they're saying the guru is not different. So that oneness, they've taken that element, right? Because the others have taken the Bengali tantric element. But here they've taken the Mayavad element. You know, because then in the Sahajya line and the Bhava line, then you're taking from the Sahajayan Buddhism. But this is taking from then the Mayavad. So it's, you end up with both the same impersonal philosophy, just this flavor will be slightly different. But there are clear hints of Mayavad and Tantric ideas. Though it seems the Kartabhaja sect does not have a reputation for sexual promiscuity like the Bhavas. The followers are supposed to marry and be true to their partners. Right? So that's different. Because the Bhavas, then they may be married, but it's, you know, they're a little bit loose on that. And then that means the owls. The Bhavas, then they're not married. Right? Like that. But here it's that they should be properly married. And they should be vegetarian. Right? Which the other ones is you know, not so. That means the higher levels are not so. The lower levels may be, but the higher levels are not so. It says, at least on Fridays. The Muslim Sabbath. Right? So because of that Dharavesh element, that element like the fakir, because it mixes with that. Funny, it's that. Why not Buddhism or something else? But, you know, like that. So then on Sabbath, they're quite careful, right? But the funny thing is that the Christians are also careful on what they eat on Fridays, but nothing to do with the Muslim Sabbath. Yeah. Just somehow another Friday is the day. Husbands and wives should not have sex on this day also. The Kartabhaja share with the Bhavas the concept of Vijayante Mara, living death, is the highest goal. They chant the name of Krishna, but say the names of Kali and Koda, Allah, are equal to it, because all are names of the Guru. Right? So they're not making a distinction between the Supreme Lord's names in the way of that are direct, the primary names, the secondary names, or the names of the demigods. So they're making no distinction. So on a spiritual platform, then that's not very good. Because one is you won't get the same benefit, because the direct names will give you more than the indirect names. Or they say, yeah, it means the primary as opposed to the secondary. But here is even the demigod names can be thrown in. It doesn't matter. So then you're going to get no spiritual benefit. Right? Right, and then they're just saying, is in any case, they're all just names of the Guru, because the Guru's God, and these are all connected with them, then he's automatically all these. So they're not quite catching the thing is, no, God is there, it's his potency, he's going through everything. So all these different names are connected to him. But then he distinguishes between what's primary and secondary. Right? So you shouldn't think that the name is equal to, it's representing that potency of the Lord. Or in other words, you can't see it as God's name as long as you see it's his potency. But not that the demigod and God are the same. But, does that make sense? It's a difference in how you perceive it. Because everything's going to go by perception. An interesting note of history is that the Kartabhajas were a powerful movement of revolt against the Jadgosai and Smartas, who, as mentioned earlier, had become the sedentary establishment of 18th century Orthodox Gaudiya Vaishnavism. 1700s, and this I was when? 16 to 17. Mm-hmm. Okay, so right through mainly in the 1700s. He would have been active in the 1700s.
Yes, sir.
The Kardambajas and other Sahaja groups converted thousands of common folk on the plea that, quote unquote, the company, the special term for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, was once rich but is now bankrupt. Out of the ruins of the old company, a new company has arisen, meaning the Kardambajas. This company does not carry out business in the name of religion. And somehow I'm not sure what they call it, but whatever. The word Karta means master or boss. With this term, the Kardambajas address their gurus, beginning with Karta, boss. Okay, the boss. With Karta, Ramshara, and Paul, all the Kartas lived at the residence of the first Karta and organized the Kardambaja mission from there. Okay, so everybody lived at this house. Yeah. What if they still live at that house? The faithful followers of the Kartas are called Bharatis, which means members of the bridegroom's party. Oh, I see, like the part, okay. In the curious terminology of this sect, the business of the Bharatis is to fully accept and serve the Karta as God on earth. Because of their fanatical devotion to this principle, the Kardambaja sect is very well organized and enthusiastic, and thus very influential amongst people who could see the faults of the Jat Gosais and the Smartas. Right? So, in other words, the Jat Gosais and the Smartas, they're taking it that they're the true representatives of the Gaudiya line. So as they're not just getting, like you said, sedentary, just settling into their routines and all that and not really preaching or establishing things, just happy to go along with whatever is there, then they're saying that, see, they've lost the company. They're calling them actually the company, right? But they're not actually the Gaudiya Vaishnava. They're just another branch of Apasampradaya. So it's one Apasampradaya against another. Mm-hmm. Right? But all of them claiming that they're connected with the proper line. Mm-hmm. You know. And none of them. Exactly. Okay. The Kardambajas worship no deity other than the Karta. Whatever words he speaks are themselves Shastra, and should be blindly obeyed, right? Because the point is, the Shastra, it's not about blind obeyance. It's about studying it and being convinced that this is correct. Mm-hmm. The point is the principle Shastra is correct. But it's not about that you don't try to understand why it's correct or try to apply it. Does that make sense? So if you blindly follow, then where's the intelligence, logic, and that? It just becomes sentiment. You're not actually using the intelligence. Right? His activities are always divine. Such divine activities were revealed by Owl Chand, the founder avatar. While living with his disciple Ramshara and Paul, he used to squat in a room alone without moving for many days together. And when Ramshara had a wedding ceremony for his eldest daughter, Owl Chand suddenly came out of his room completely naked and danced all around the wedding party. Ramshara became angry, but when Owl Chand threatened to leave his house forever, Ramshara surrendered and begged him to stay, suddenly realizing that Owl Chand was God. So it takes to dance around naked and you're God. Okay. Many disciples believe that the soul of Owl Chand entered the soul, because it's like you see this, so many of them do these things. It's like there's the normal thing, but why should we do that? Why do we do that? And they question this, and so why can't we do like you had that thing of Ramakrishna when he's passing urine, because there's so many rules of where, which direction, where, all that, that he was just jumping up, but standing up on one leg, passing urine while jumping up and down and turning himself in a circle. Right? So they do stuff like that, and then everyone, whoa, you know, somehow this is special, you know, because it's different than anybody else would do. Right? But that doesn't really mean it's authorized. Right? So like that. Okay, footnote. Many disciples believe that the soul of Owl Chand entered the soul of Ramshara and Paul and continues down in the subtle form into the present Karta. Others have a Trinitarian doctrine. Okay. Trinitarian seems to be popular. You didn't mention that when you mentioned about the different kinds of Trinitarians. That the Karthapajas were also one of the
lesser known Trinitarian churches.
That Alchon, Krishna, and Chaitanya are mystically united. He combines a variety of orientations, primarily Vaishnavism and Tantric Buddhism, with elements of Sufism and yoga. Like that. But it also is that because that Mayavad element comes through, I guess, more from the Vedic. So it comes out more of that rather than Buddhistic.
Yes.
Well, it seems that many avatars, there are 13 avatars.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's popular. You see so many come like that.
Yes.
You know, you see the same thing, the Rajneesh element. Then that's
yes.
Guru is God.
Yeah.
I think, what was his name? The guy got squashed in the car accident in America. He was big in the 60s. Not Maharishi. Maharishi, I'm not sure what happened to Maharishi. But he also died in a car accident.
I think
his mother just pronounced that he wasn't God. His mother said he was God. And then I guess he was getting too, you know, wasn't listening to his mother. So then she said he wasn't God. And his older brother was now God.
Okay.
Like that. And I think after that, you didn't hear as much from that group as he did. That was Guru Maharaj Ji. Then it was Ram something, Ram Das Babaji, or Ram, I don't remember, it was like that. So basically all of the combined with that Guru is God, because the Mayavadis are even the same thing, but it's not just Guru is God, everybody's God.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
So they're a little bit more egalitarian, right? You know, like everybody's God, like that.
One time, Sai Baba one time, he said, "We are all God. There's a difference between you and me. I know, and you don't know."
And then Prabhupada says, "Yes, we're all God. There's big God and small God. We're small God, and God is the big God." Because here, God, then you're meaning Brahman.
Yes.
So everything is technically Brahman, but you have to be able to distinguish between the kinds of Brahman. What's the Supreme Lord Brahman? What's the Jiva Brahman? The internal potency Brahman? External potency Brahman? So they don't make that distinction.
Yes.
That's your monist. Right? The Vaishnava means you make the distinction. Right? But because there is different things. There is the soul. There is the material world. There is the Supreme. Right? They don't know about the internal potency. But those three, they can perceive something's there. But they're trying to make those exactly the same.
Yes.
So then the problem comes is that they don't actually see as the illusion, and God can't be the same.
Yes.
Right? The jiva can't be God. He has to give up that position. So technically, then they actually are not monists anymore.
Yes.
Right? They're actually dualists or Trinitarians.
Yes.
You know, like that. So they get all these different aspects. But Vaishnavas are actually, you know, the actual non-dual. But we don't call ourselves, it's not exclusive monism. The point is we're monists, but at the same time, is then there's the personal.
Yes.
Right? And of that, the personal is primary, and the monistic element is secondary. It's not so important. It's important in connection with the creation. But with the spiritual world and rasa, then that doesn't have any importance at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't have. So, yeah.
So now, without having a clear understanding about the different Brahman, it's impossible to go to spiritual life.
Sorry?
Without having a clear understanding about the different type of Brahman.
Yes, you can't. Because otherwise, how is there self-realization if you can't tell who you are? Right?
Yes.
It means one act if you don't know who you are?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you have the, you know, the prime minister and you have his, you know, assistant. So if the assistant doesn't know who he is, or the prime minister doesn't know who he is, how do you get anything done?
Difficult.
You know? So it has to be clear. To accomplish anything, you have to have a clear identity. So that's the whole point, is that the identity is clear. So if you don't, because the soul is spirit, then you have to be able to distinguish between the various kinds of spirit.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you can't tell, how do you do anything?
Yes.
Just go on. No, that was it. Yeah, so they take all these different things, Vaishnavism, Tantric Buddhism. It's not regular Buddhism, it's Tantric Buddhism, right? Mm-hmm. Generally, anything connected with on this side is always going to be Tantric Buddhism. Right? It's not going to be, you know, less Tantric, because the Bengalis are Tantric, right? With elements of Sufism and yoga, you know, so the way they dress, you know, the way they do their bhajans and stuff like that, it has that more of that flavor. You know, in yoga, they sit and do meditation and come to their, what do you call it, living death. So practitioners known as true preachers.
Hmm? No, it's
In
Bangladesh.
In Bangladesh.
Bottom of the page.
51. Downstairs.
Oh, okay. In Bangladesh, a new version of the Kartabhaja sect was founded some years back by one Anukul Chandra, right? Owl Chand, Anukul Chandra. Get it? Just adds a couple of letters, and then now he's the new incarnate, right? He is now dead, but later... this is so funny. Latter-day devotees. Right, so the latter day saint can be directly initiated by him through preachers known as Ritviks. New initiates must agree to follow the principles, be vegetarian once a week, and worship no deity other than Anukul Chandra's picture. Mm-hmm. Right, so then you do have there are such things as Ritviks.
There's a precedent for the philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, you find it in the Kartabhaja.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's your Kartabhajas. Okay. So now the Neda Nedis. Vaishnava Buddhist syncretists. Neda Nedis. Neda Nedis. Neda Nedis. Right? The word Neda indicates a man with a shaven head. Nedi means a shaven headed woman. Okay, therefore the Neda Nedi. Okay, so it means wherever there's a Neda, there must be a Nedi. Okay. The Neda Nedi cult is said to be still visible around the Navadvip area, where they are indistinguishable from other shaven Vaishnavas wearing tilak and white cloth. The Neda Nedi Apasampradaya began at the time of Sri Virabhadra Goswami, the son of Lord Nityananda and Janavamata. So most of these go back to the...
Yeah.
You know, 1600s like that, mm-hmm. You know, 1617 like that, they're all. But you have the neo Kartabhajas.
That's what he says later on, is that these 13 Upasampradayas have just multiplied. Now it's hard to count them.
Yeah, well, they could seem to mix a little bit. Yeah. You know, somebody will take something from here, something from there, and then.
Yeah.
But it's all based on these principles. They won't come, because even them, they're not coming up with something new. They're just taking something from the Buddhism, Tantric Buddhism, or taking it from the Sufi thing, or something from yoga.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a dabble here and there from, you know, the Vedas or something. But otherwise, most of them all have the same kind of background. It's just what they want to do with it, how they decide to apply it. That seems to be what's different.
But now it seems that they take nothing from Christianity. They take nothing from Christianity.
Christianity came later.
They did not know about
because it only is in late 70s. Means then they weren't really prominent. You could say they were prominent in the 1800s, but all these have been established for 20 years or more. It's not that some of these newer groups don't do that.
Yeah.
They might, but... But what ritual you take, it doesn't match so much with the Vedic. It's not really that they have some outstanding rituals. Because we already have kirtan, you already have a lecture, you know, you already have, you know, the worship, all that. It's much nicer. We already have incense, you know, so it's like, you know, what's to add?
Drinking blood.
That the tantrics are those agoras that they know. So they don't bother with this the other stuff. You know.
I think that was the derivation or the science. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't bother with any. You know, the small time stuff. Okay. It is said that Sri Virachandra converted over 1,000 Nettas and an equal number of Nettis to Vaishnavism from Tantric Buddhism. Okay, so it's a Buddhist term, I guess, Netta and Netti. Right? Well, that's, yeah, oh, okay, so it's a D with a dot under it.
Oh.
So it's Netta Netti.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, okay, Netta.
Yeah,
either that or it's a Buddhist term from this side. You know, maybe in other places they have a different term. Okay. Under his direction, these Netta Nettis took to the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Most of them got properly married, thus ending the illicit connections that had been going on between them in the name of tantric meditation, right? So this would have been the ones in Bengal, so that probably would have been more... It's not necessarily that it would be just the Sahajayanas. It seems that the others also had that tantric element. You know, how much is prominent. It seems the Sahajayana would have been more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But the other Buddhist lines, that it seems that when you're dealing with the tantric element, that aspect can be there.
Right.
Like that. But after some time, a number of them again revived their old practices while passing themselves off as Vaishnavas. Nowadays, the Netaneti is taken to be a type of bowel. Again, because, you know, they're doing same kind of, you know, they're all same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
From Dr. Ramakant Chakrabarty, we get a historical account of a Buddhist monk of Orissa who became a Vaishnava in Puri during the time of Srila Sanatana Goswami's stay there. He was initiated and received the name Achyutananda Das. After mixing with the Vaishnavas for some time, he became dissatisfied by their adherence to Varnashram Dharma. Buddhists are naturally antagonistic to Varnashram. So when Achyutananda consulted a Buddhist guru named Mahananda, he was advised to leave the company of the devotees. Achyutananda established his own group, preaching Bolanti Prabhu Bhagavan Buddha Rupa Mo Shri Chaitanya Tanka Charana Seva Karana. I serve the lotus feet of Lord Buddha in the form of Sri Chaitanya. Okay? Though Achyutananda's cult has long faded into irrelevance, this vignette shows the type of synchronism that, on the fringe of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, produced new unauthorized movements like the Netta Netti. Like, so then, in other words, they would dress like, but they would just have their own philosophy. So they move through the streets, so look like any other local Vaishnavas. Yeah. But when they go home, then they have their own scene. The same tendency was noted by Srila Prabhupada in a 1968 letter to a disciple who had chosen to follow wayward ISKCON sannyasi. Quote, "Now it is understood that he does not believe in parampara or in the necessity of scriptural authority. He seems to feel that this is a sort of tyranny. That means after taking sannyas and understanding the philosophy for more than a year, he has changed the whole view, and I do not understand how you would like this recent doctrine. In other words, someone who was there practicing took sannyas, then decided that they just wanted to do their own thing without, you know, necessarily. No, they're picking and choosing what you want from what Prabhupada says, doing whatever you like, like that. So another disciple wanted to follow that person, so he's just saying, I'm not sure why you'd want to take this up. Right? It's not an emotional thing here, it's just a matter of this is what his understanding. But, you know, what's the use? So why would you want to take this up? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just practical. On syncretism as a tactic for preaching in different religious communities, Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1969, "Actually, we have nothing to do with compromising with Christians or Buddhists. Our principle should be to preach Krishna consciousness as it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. As we are now collecting some fortunate students in our movement, it would be possible to collect more students in the future. But it's a fact that the unfortunate persons who stick to the four material misbehaviors, just like illicit sex life, etc., cannot accept these principles of Krishna consciousness. But still, there is a chance for them, simply by giving oral reception to this transcendental sound of Hare Krishna mantra. If we turn our attention to fit with the Christian people or with any other religious sect, I think it will not be very much fruitful, because no one will change his faith, even though he has given scientific or archaeological evidences. And that will not help anybody. We have already discussed this point in many articles, and change in religious faith does not make one advanced in spiritual understanding. The spiritual understanding as taught by Lord Chaitanya is that all living entities are eternally servants of God. We have to propagate this philosophy, and for this we have to make propaganda. Every religion believes in God, and we want that everyone should actively come to this understanding of accepting one's internal servitorship of God, right? So it's not a matter of changing religion. It's a matter of changing the understanding that you actually understand what is God, what is his nature, right? Otherwise, then we see is that they talk about we're servants of God, but then it's all about God fulfilling our material desires. And then how is those material desires used in God's service? Mm-hmm. So it's technically, you know, one's not practically manifesting a mood of service to God. Okay, 11. Challenge, questioning authority. What is this one?
This is we've covered all the upasampradayas now. Now there's just a few concluding chapters that the authors included. How Prabhupada won against...
it means about how all these different things would come up.
Yeah.
So is 58 the end, or there's more after this?
There's about 5 more pages.
Okay, similar, taking these different elements.
Yeah, there's a concluding chapter after this.
Okay, so this is all the challenges.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then 12 will be the conclusion.
Conclusion.
Okay. Okay, challenge. Questioning authority. The challenge of management. Oh, so it means this challenge means where there's a challenge of these things.
I think it's the challenge.
The challenge
for us as how we avoid deviating ourselves.
Oh, it means from these elements.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it means so the challenge, like here, a challenge of management would be how to not get distracted through management.
Yeah.
Okay, not get distracted through management through or the faith. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess as we go through it, it'll be more clear. Challenge of management. In a letter of 22nd December 1972, Srila Prabhupada brilliantly marked out a plan of management outlined below to protect ISKCON from deviation from the Sampradaya. Okay, 1 and 2, and then A, B, C, D. Okay. 1. To avoid the creation of mad false devotees or pretenders. A. Recognize that bad habits are difficult to overcome. B. New devotees should therefore be carefully educated. 1. First, by getting them to chant the holy name, and then by getting them to follow the regular principles. It's always that's important that you can't start with the chanting.
Yeah.
Because if that's there, then you have the strength for the regulator principles.
Okay.
3. Unless one is prepared to follow the principles, he cannot live in the temple. That means the temple has to be for those who are following fully, because they're giving the example to the community. The community comes there to get that association. If someone, in other words, if someone can't follow all of them, then he should do that not following them in his house. Right? It means they come to the temple for proper association. Right? 4. Attention should be paid to train a class of men, not a mass of men. Vedic training means brahmin, but what he's meaning is a class of men, mean men that have culture rather than a mass of men. It means just, you know, because you can only train everybody up to a certain point,
right?
So he's saying attention should be paid. It's not that you're not training the mass of men.
Yes.
It's that you're paying attention more to the class, because the point is how means. How much can one person do to preaching to the mass? Only so much. But if he preaches to those that have the ability to come up to a very good standard by their training, then they can preach. So it means if he preaches, let's say, to 10 people, now instead of one person trying to preach to everybody, you have 11. Right? And then they'll do the same thing, try to cultivate those who are very serious. It means that both are going on, but the primary focus is on those who can be trained. Right? So it's not about everybody's accepting. It's about those who have the intelligence, they will accept. Mm-hmm. Right? And then slowly, slowly it'll filter down. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was seeing today, was it the one other devotee? I think he came from Hungary, no?
Ashutosh.
Is yeah. there? Yeah. So then he's wearing, I can't remember what it's called. They use it in printing. It's the red, it's the blue. You know?
Cyan?
Yes, cyan, I think. Mm-hmm. Like that. So then that's the blue that they use in the printing. That's the blue, then they have a red, and then they have a yellow. Mm-hmm. And by combining those, they get all the other colors. You just have, you know, white and black, but I'm just saying, you add those. So that's the color. So it's generally a blue that you don't see really much anywhere. A couple of birds have it and a few bugs, but otherwise it's not really a known thing. But it became, I think in the early 2000s, somebody came out with it, one of the top fashion houses came out with it. And then from there, it came down into something else like that, other fashion houses. Then it came down to the more common, you know, a little bit of fashion, but now it's just down to, you know, his paraphernalia, his watch band and his other things, you know, this thing around your neck that you hang something on, like your little card, identity card, has come down to that. So it's just, in other words, like that, it'll just filter down. So what was, you know, 10 years ago high fashion is now just, you know, a practical nerd thing, right? You know, does that make sense? So the whole point is, if you concentrate on the top, it will go down. But if you made, you know, those paraphernalia, that color, it never would have caught on very far. One company made it, watch bands like that. A few people might buy it, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point. You start at the top, it goes through the whole system. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you want to train a class of men, not a mass of men. Two, to avoid the defection of older devotees from the ISKCON camp. A, leaders must strictly set the example and be vigilant to ensure that everyone is, one, chanting 16 rounds daily, 2, rising by 4 a.m. daily, and attending Mangalarti. B. Okay, so that's setting example. Okay, B. The art of management is to draw out the spontaneous loving spirit of sacrifice for Krishna. Right. So in other words, someone's going to serve, so management is not how to organize everybody and then control every movement they do, but how to bring out the natural spontaneity in the individual, then they're naturally going to manage it nicely. Mm-hmm. Right? Because someone who's inspired does things. Someone who's not inspired, maybe he'll do what you tell him if he's got that kind of mood. Mm-hmm. Right? But then that's even harder to. You know, one can say, oh, it's so hard to bring out the spontaneity. It's just as hard to keep everybody who's not inspired doing what they're supposed to do. You know. So then that'll be done by one. Leaders should be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is A, individual, B, spontaneous, and C, voluntary. And two, leaders should always try to generate an atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees so that they'll agree to enthusiastically rise and meet it. Right? So in other words, you can see what leadership is. One could say, well, you know, it's just the management. It's that it's not the hands-on management, it's the inspiration of the individuals. They'll do the hands-on management. Right? In other words, why should you do the hands-on management if someone else will do it? But the point is by inspiring them, that's the same point of the class of men. C, as long as the regulative principles are followed by one and all, the future of the Krishna conscious movement is very bright. One, otherwise, their enthusiasm dwindles and they again think of sex and become rascals and so many problems are there. Two, in order to maintain their enthusiasm to follow the principles, the devotees must be engaged in satisfying occupations. So that's the importance of understanding nature. Right? Like that. And three, they should understand the principle to be part of the occupation. They will thus follow them automatically, realizing the happier side of regulative principles. Right, so the principles are part of the occupation. Then it's not that it's something separate. There's the occupation and there's regular principles. No, they're just naturally part of.
Okay. So Varna should be always first, then Ashram?
I don't quite understand. Varnashram and Ashram. Ashram is part of Varnashram.
Yes. identify Varna, then on the base of this?
It's not so, I mean, the ashram thing is the central point because it's the spiritual.
Right.
Then you have the occupational aspect.
Right.
So we see up to this point is that you're talking about there means here, chanting the holy name, regulative principles, living in the temple, getting trained, you know, not in an occupation, but as devotees,
right.
Chanting, rising early, Mangal Arti, okay, spirit of enthusiasm, spontaneous, all this is all ashram. Does that make sense? But then you have a specific occupation. They must be in satisfying occupations, right? So in that occupation, they should see that these elements of ashram are still part of that. Because the point is the social has to be based on the spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Now, you have the thing, if you're specifically training, but this is something that's only understandable to someone who's doing it, is if you take the term where Prabhupada says varna first, then ashram. But that means is that if you understand the varna, you know how to train them in the ashram.
Yes.
And you know how to train them in the varna.
Yes.
Because if you start with ashram first, then the problem is you have all four different kinds of mentalities. So you won't know how to deal with them in training in the spiritual. Right? You have the other aspect, because of the conditioning, then only when that varna element is addressed do they feel satisfied and they'll be peaceful in ashram. It doesn't mean that varna is more important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just means because we take it as more important, therefore it's dealt with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like spiritual life is not dependent upon food.
Right.
Right? But if you don't eat, it's sometimes hard to think about spiritual subject matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it takes on that element. But you have to know, but then you have to know how to identify it. Right, you know, by your interaction, by that, then you can see how they respond, and based on that, then you train. Indeed, the mood of tapasya is vital to the health of ISKCON. Quote, we should not be very much after comforts and become complacent and self-contented. Right? Because that's what you want to be careful of. You know, it's always there should be that challenge of doing something more. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. It says we should not be very much after comforts. Means if there's a better way of doing something that'll make it easier, yes, of course, you do it. But it's not that the focus is on how to make things comfortable. It's just how to make it practical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's say if you have a more proper bed, you sleep better, so you do your service better. So that's the only reason to have the better bed, not because it's more comfortable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So, yes. Management means to look for the spiritual progress of the individual.
The spiritual progress, but you also to see that they're situated nice according to their occupation, and that they're inspired to perform their various services, you know, both their sadhana and their specific duties. So that's actual, the leadership. That's the real management. The other things is just mechanics, how well you're able to organize. But if you see this is in place, then everything being nicely organized will actually have a direction and purpose. Otherwise, if things are just nicely organized, and you don't have this kind of element, then it's not going to work very nicely.
Clear direction. It seems like these instructions are for temple devotees. Like, how do we adjust this for the, you know, contemporary ISKCON temple where most of the congregation of the husbands that stay outside?
They should be chanting. They should be following the four regular principles.
Yeah.
They should be being trained.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they may be the mass, but still they're being trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but from that mass, you're going to have those who can understand and do something. Because the point is the community devotees, they can also be preaching the community devotees, like in Chopati.
Right.
It's going on by community devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Means the temple devotees are preaching and the community devotees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they chant 16 rounds daily. They get up in the morning, they attend Mangalarti, either in the temple or in the house.
Yes.
They do. Right? Then, okay, then, you know, the element of the enthusiastic element and the thing there is, the point is everybody, let's say, just take it, they're practically in the family. They're all individuals, it's spontaneous and voluntary. The whole devotional development, even their duties within the house, it should be that. It means they have to do them,
mm-hmm.
but it should be that it's being spontaneous because they're inspired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Fresh challenge, mm-hmm. like that. So, in other words, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the those in the temple should be able to set a nice example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If they can't set a nice example, then they shouldn't live in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have their own little scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense? In other words, if you start from the principle is that those who have the qualifications stay in the temple, then they're not in the temple when they come in contact. So you see the nature. If they can function in the temple, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, then they just stay in their position.
Yes.
So it's not actually a difficult thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. The challenge of faith. Individually, every member of... Okay, this is from a conversation. Probably. Every individual... individually, every member of ISKCON must be prepared to meet the challenge of surrendering fully to Krishna. Quote, therefore, faith is the first thing, adau shraddha. If he has got intelligence, he'll see. So many big, Lord Brahma accepts, Lord Shiva accepts, Vyasadeva accepts, Narada accepts, the Acharyas accept. So am I more than them? No, I will accept. Faith is divined by Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22:62, as the conviction that all needs are fulfilled and all desires satisfied simply by serving Krishna. This conviction is born from the full acceptance of Krishna's supremacy. It means the materialistic, they have faith because they think that by engaging in the particular modern materialistic proposed lifestyle or advertised lifestyle, that all my desires will be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But even though there's obstacles, we still go on with that faith. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is to understand that it's all done with Krishna.
Yeah.
Material lust attacks one who thinks that there's something desirable outside of Krishna consciousness. But desires arise from the soul because it is originally spiritual. Desire can only be satisfied on the spiritual platform of service to Krishna, right? Because the desire is coming from the soul being spiritual by nature. Therefore, you can only satisfy the soul's desires through the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't satisfy the soul's desires with material because the soul's not material.
Right.
And the body actually just doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? You know, what is it? Yeah. Devotional service compared to watering the root of a tree. Since we are Krishna's spiritual parts and parcels, if we satisfy Him, we are naturally likewise satisfied, just as the leaves of the tree are satisfied when the root is watered. Pouring water on the leaves is just like sense gratification. Though, in illusion, we may think, now the leaves will also enjoy. They suffer for want of nourishment, which comes only from the root. Acceptance of Krishna alone as the root of happiness in all affairs is the proof of real faith. So that's the principle. Yeah. Yeah, the only benefit if you pour water on the leaves is that it'll drip off and go down to the root. Right? Like that. So, see, even sense gratification must be connected to Krishna if it's going to give it. But if you pour the water directly on the root, the leaves get more. Sensual, mental, intellectual, and even spiritual affairs that have no connection to Krishna are called anartha, valueless. At every moment, each devotee is faced with the challenge of discriminating between things favorable to Krishna, or for Krishna consciousness, and things that are illusion. Srimad Bhagavatam 176 informs us that most people lack the power of discrimination. Lokasya janato. Therefore, we must take help of the Sattvasa Samhita, the Vedic literature. Quote, if you go to school and you don't read books, Srila Prabhupada once said, you'll fail in the examination.
Right? Pretty straightforward. That was Prabhupada's point, is studying the books. He wanted this training to go on. Right? Mm-hmm. Is this training that's here? I can't remember when the letter was written. I think it's early 80s. And there was a letter to Bhavananda about the school in Mayapur and the mm-hmm. degrees in the divinity and all those kinds of things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Prabhupada wanted this. And he talked before about Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhav, all those different things. He talked about those back in the 60s. Yes. Right. So the idea was always that the book should be studied. Yeah. Right? You know, in a you know, how you say, systematic mm-hmm. fashion.
Mm-hmm. And always with some examination to check.
Yeah, it's always good. It's always good. There should be some kind of, you know, whether it's written or oral or, yes, you know, like that. There's always, like the Vedic, a lot of times it would be oral because what they were learning was mantras or rituals. So they would have a pot and they would put all the points in there, they pull one out, and when that was your mantra, you had to chant, or a particular thing you had to do, right? So it was practical, you didn't have to, and because what you choose would be all from this whole range of things, then it's like this, if, let us say, you have 100 verses that you want them to learn, so now the point is you're only going to be tested on one, but you don't know which one, so let us say, here's going to be the exam, okay? So it's 100 verses to learn, so there's 100 pieces of paper with the number of each of the verses on there. So you have 10 students come up, they reach their hand in the pot, pull out one. You don't know which one it's going to be, so what does that mean? If you want to pass the test, how many verses do you have to know?
All the verses, be really lucky.
Yeah, or just be really, really lucky. You know? You know, but
study one verse really well.
Just pray that that's going to be the verse. Yeah, please. Maybe it'll work out. But then at least your faith should increase, right? You know, so you know. So that's the whole thing. The Vedic is very simple on testing, like that, because you're just checking. You know, it's just like if you want to check a pot full of rice. You don't squeeze each grain. You squeeze one, then you know. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the Vedic system. The modern is like give you a 6-hour rigorous test. Drives you nuts and you feel you've done something. But basically, I don't know that, you know, anybody likes making the test or anybody likes taking the test.
Or marking the test.
But those who sit in rooms and don't make the test or take the test, they love seeing that they're organized. You know. Challenge of pride. In the Katha Upanishad declares, as the Katha Upanishad declares, quote, like a sharpened razor, the path of spiritual life is difficult to traverse, for it is said to be strewn with thorns. Right, so they're basically sharpened razor, meaning that's how thin the path is. You have to be exactly on the path.
Sounds like a razor. That's thrown with thorns.
Yeah. So it's just like that. The problem is staying on the path, meaning it's not that you'll get cut by the path, it means it's that wide. But then there's you know, thorns on that. But we put the thorns there. And of all difficulties on the path, pratishtasa, pride associated with spiritual life, is one of the most formidable. For instance, one who considers himself spiritually advanced may think that a simple devotee's unquestioning dependence on Krishna or everything is impractical. But Srila Prabhupada said, practical means it will be done by Krishna. Your only business is to surrender to Krishna. Okay, so that's the practical point. The practical point is you doing it to please the Lord, and the Lord will give the intelligence, the arrangements to make it happen. Right? But that surrender means you perform your duties, so you make that endeavor.
Yeah.
But the ability to actually work it out and the situations that work out, that's up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it doesn't mean we sit back and wait for the Lord to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It means it will happen naturally as we make our endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Your only business is to surrender to Krishna. So that means even the neophyte devotee,
yes,
that just surrender and not, you know, just doing, that's practical. You may say, well, that's not, you know, you have to think, you have to this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is all the thinking, everything should just be how to do it nicely to please Krishna.
Yes.
Like that. So it's still, it's just not as developed. But it's not that it's not practical. Mm-hmm. It's the essence of practical. You can, okay. It's more than a sentence. Practical means, this Prabhupada, practical means it will be done by Krishna. Our only business is to surrender to Krishna. You cannot do anything. And as soon as you think that, quote, I shall be able to do it, then you are a rascal. Immediately you are a rascal. Right? So it's not that I can do it, it's a matter of I can assist in this whole process. Therefore, then one doesn't become proud, because if you're not actually doing it, then it will work. Okay. Observing the defects of the Sahajiya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Ami ta Vaishnava e buddhi hoile, Amani nahaba, Ami pratishthasa asi, Hridaya dushibe, Hoiba niraya gamiya. If I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollute my heart, certainly I shall go to hell. Okay. So then I missed that. The douchebag. I was wondering if that had something to do with douchebag.
I'm sure it's a big
What amounts to a purport by Srila Prabhupada to these lines is found in a letter of 31 December 1972. Quote, you have got some desire to become a famous preacher and famous Vaishnav singer and also Jagat Guru. This is a spiritual desire, so it is not like any material desire, and it is all right for Krishna in this way. The great Vaishnava or famous Vaishnava means you have no sex desire. Whether you can be like that. First of all, you have to be like that, without any sex desire. Then you think famous Vaishnava. Vaishnava means he has no material desire. What to speak of sex desire? All material desires become zero, even if he has no desire for jnana karma like that. So he's saying, because preacher, kirtan singer, Vaishnava kirtan singer, guru, so they're all spiritual desires, but he's saying that they'll only have effect and remain on the spiritual platform if you give up all material desire.
Yes.
Right? And then the symptom of that is no sex life. Or no sex desire. Actually, here he doesn't say no sex life. He just says no sex desire. So then that element then brings it to that there is nothing material, because everything else is connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And now, apasampadaya means the opposite.
Sorry?
Apasampadaya means the opposite.
Yeah, the opposite. It's all about that. You know? So somehow or another. And it's all about pratishtha. Yeah. So it's all, yeah, basically. That's why not many people are buying it in the market, right? Not because it's there, it's just expensive. And from where does one get the strength to rise above material desire? Quote, that is not your business, that is Krishna's business. You follow Krishna. If you cheat Krishna, then you'll be cheated. That's all. Krishna does not cheat you, but you create a situation to cheat yourself. And Maya will make an arrangement so that you are cheated. this is Maya's business. Right? In other words, our business is you focus on Krishna consciousness. And it's not that, oh, well, when do I have the strength, this, that. You don't worry about that. You worry about being absorbed in the service. Mm-hmm. Krishna will take care of the other side. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if you cheat, then Maya is very expert. She's the best. Okay. Then here, so we have challenge invited. Oh, so a few more pages. So definitely, when we get through to that. Okay. Another maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaur
Hare Bhu.